Oh my gosh, I'm recording a podcast. So Cassia is back for a bit from her podcast hiatus. And this episode is definitely impromptu. It's actually 12:12 a.m. And funny enough, I'm like up finishing up some work. And as I'm done, I came across a post that a fellow colleague sent me in the DMs like about 2 hours ago. And I was like, okay, Cassia, I've had enough. And then I looked down and I realized I'm drinking tea. I was like, let's do it. Like, let's just do it. So before I get into it and what this episode is about, I mean, you'll tell what it is about by reading the title, reading the description. But this series, like, this is going to be like a series of episodes, like a short pop-up series of thoughts that I need to share until I actually prioritize relaunching the podcast. I do have things in mind for it. Or maybe I might just start a new one altogether. But the revamp, the vision that I have for it, I don't want to say I can't rush it because I don't want it to sound like it's me stalling, procrastination, perfectionism. It isn't any of that, but there are some things that are required for me to at least honor the vision that I have for it. So there's a difference between procrastinating and waiting for perfectionism versus like not rushing into it and making sure that there are just certain elements in order to honor the vision, right? Okay, so what brought me here today? For those of you who follow me on Instagram, you know that for a while I've been saying, I have things to say. And sometimes I hop on and you might get a couple 1 minute Instagram stories. And I honestly don't like doing that. Because I feel as though it coddles people to be like, you know what, if you really are interested in what I have to say or you're interested in this topic, you're going to click the link and you're going to leave the Instagram app and consume the longer form content. All right. And that's the thing with stories. It has become a crutch for me, not Instagram, but Instagram stories, where it feels like you're putting out quality content. Not that it isn't quality, but it feels like you're actually being productive when really, not just productive with your content, but strategic. I mean, not everything has to be strategic, and that's a whole other conversation, but intentional. And as that's where I want to get back to, is being super intentional about the content that I put out. And intentional doesn't just have to mean intentional in terms of building a funnel, sales, conversions. It just means the message that you put out that is received the way that you want to. And I don't even think I should say the way it should be received the way that you want to, because we can't control how people receive our messages entirely. We can't even control how people receive us. But I hope you get where I'm coming from in terms of like Instagram on a whole, especially stories, reels, any form of short form content, social media is really the appetizer to the full on meal, right? And I just want to focus on putting together a proper meal these days and not just taking shortcuts and feeding people buffalo wings. You know what I mean? That's where my headspace is at. So anyway, this first series, this first episode in this short stint of a series, which I'm not sure what I'm going to coin it yet, but by the time I edit this and put this out, I'm going to give this series a bit of a theme to it. But it's a series of short rambles, I would say. On things that I've noticed, things that I might be doing. I'm not going to be sharing everything, but there are just some things that I want to say off of Instagram stories. So if you are listening to this episode right now, I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate you for pressing play on this episode. So let's get into the topic. So again, If you saw when I posted to my Instagram stories a post from Emily De La Cruz, and I also posted a post from Brittany Janine, right? And funny enough, which one did I come across first? It was Brittany Janine that day. And then another colleague DM'd me Emily De La Cruz's post. And I was like, wow, oh my goodness, I was just reflecting on this topic today. And the topic has so many different layers to it. And I wish I had notes to give you like a cohesive flow. So bear with me. My thoughts may not be the most organized. I'm just freestyling. All right. And for those who caught my lyrics, when I say lyrics, in my Instagram stories, I said, listen, I really need to get on the mic and spit it. And that is the lyrics from a song. I think it's Eminem. But I have to verify that. But anyway, so I'm here on the mic spitting it, freestyling, and it's from Brittany Janine, right? And she made this post about shutting down her business. It's a carousel post. I may link it in the show notes below so you could check out the description. And that post reads, after 15 years, I've decided to close my business down. And I've been observing for a while, and I actually had this conversation with a colleague as well out in Florida a few months back. And she's like, everyone like romanticized entrepreneurship. I remember her saying this to me. Everyone romanticized entrepreneurship. And now everybody is making these big announcements about I'm taking a break, I'm pausing. And it's because people didn't have a grip on reality. Now, I'm just sharing. Like, again, I'm paraphrasing based off of what I remember, because it was a few months well ago, probably the end of last year, probably as recent as January. I can't remember, but it was either as recent as January or before. And she touched on that. And I just listened. I can't remember what my thoughts were or what I would have said in response, but I did agree with her to some degree, because I was like looking for some website inspiration at time, and I noticed a particular coach, like the branding that she got from another brand strategist and designer was nowhere on her page. All of her posts were archived. She had one post that says she's taking a pause, and I was like, okay. And I kept it moving. So when this colleague said this, I was like, I just kind of like sat with it and reflected. And, you know, she was right. A lot of people, like, they just kind of either they make announcements or they fall back and you just don't hear much from them. Then a few months after, a person that the two of us know, I even noticed that after launching their agency, did a whole full rebrand, that they literally ghosted the internet. Like, I can't find them anywhere. I think the only place I see them is maybe Twitter, if I remember correctly. But like, I was connected with them on Facebook. Like, they're not there. Can't like find anything. I was like, okay. So then Brittany Janine comes with this post, and it kind of gives me life, because it's forcing us to have this conversation that I feel a lot of us are either having with ourselves, in terms of the observations, in terms of how we're reflecting on where we're going from here and now. It's like, what now? What next? We've been doing this for a while. A lot of us who have been in the game at least since 2016, when I came out full-time online, and then there are a couple other people who've been out in the online streets longer than that, but not just in the online streets, but just been running their business overall for like Brittany Janine, like 15 years. Now, her business has been a series of evolutions, and it was not always entirely a online business. So I'm going to swipe to the next slide and give her a bit more of a background. So she's like, woo fam, for the past 15 years, I have served my people from wedding planning, right? So that's not really an online business. You know, people just take all of the numbers of their different businesses or the evolution of one business to another, and they put all the years together. So just to be clear, she wasn't in the online space for probably the whole 15 years. So I relate to this as well because I've been doing this for well over a decade myself, but I've always been online too. Yeah, I've always used the internet or social media in some way to find clients, right? So for the past 15 years, I've served my people from wedding planning, photography, branding, and coaching. When I say a girl has served, I feel like that is an understatement. But no matter what I was doing, I always showed up in true excellence, giving it all I had, okay? Never shorting my people, doing what I said I would do, and delivering some of the industry's best products and services, and I have clients who will say amen to that. Ha ha ha. Right, next slide, she says, but I'm tired. For the past month or so, I have battled with the way society and our industries require us to show up. Build, 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 monetize, 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 launch, 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 post, post, post. And fam, I just got tired of it. Even though I do it so well, it is exhausting. And I can relate because you get so caught up in the rat race of entrepreneurship and getting to that holy grail six figures or getting to that next milestone, that next level, da 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 da. And even getting a certain level of internet accolade that when you finally do experience it or some level of it, you realize you're in a rat race. Because it's like, oh, wow, I made all of this windfall of income. And then you realize, shit, I got to do it again and again and again. And you realize that what you did to get there isn't as sustainable as you thought it was. All right. It's, and again, it's the build, 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 monetize, monetize. We've got to keep launching because it's like once you hit this milestone, you got to keep it going. Like you have to keep showing up, you have to keep posting. And the post I got from a colleague, as I said earlier in this podcast, like 2 hours ago, she touched on something that I was just like, this is exactly what I was saying to myself in my reflection. Like, it's just not fun anymore. You know, it's just too much. And when I say it's too much, it's like there's all these rules. Like I open up my YouTube and there's all these videos, how to go viral on TikTok in 2023. And then, let's say 2021, it's 2022. Then it's 3 months later. It's like how to go viral on TikTok, October. And then it's like, it's always another how-to video. It's a constant rat race. And it's like we leave one rat race to join another. All right. I didn't want to express this on stories for it to be misconstrued because I do believe we do have to create content. I do believe we do have to show up to some degree. I don't want people to take my words and run with it and be like, oh, well, Cassia said we don't really need content anymore. It's not sustainable. Like we have to put everything into context. All right. Context is so, 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 so important. And this is why, like, there are just some things, like, I am just so disinterested in discussing on a platform like Instagram where people's attention spans are so short. It's so easy to misconstrue. As you're mindlessly scrolling, swiping, you hear one thing and you apply a meaning to it and you go with it. And then you might hear me say something else another time. And then you say, oh, she's contradicting herself. You know, I'm not saying somebody else is saying this about me, but we have to be so careful on the internet in what we take away from people's words, not just mine, but I just observe how people respond to everyone's messages. And we just look at things in a vacuum. I now just, and it's not, and some people might think, oh, you're just trying to monetize everything. When you stop and you tell them, hey, I would rather discuss this in a strategy session. A pick my brain call, a conversation one-on-one, because I need to know where you are coming from as a business owner to really apply context to your situation. Because as we all know, or we should know, that two opposites can be true at the same time. It just really all depends, right? So, and I know people hate that when they come in your DMs and or they comment on something that you put out and you ask a question and people say, well, it depends. Or you send even an email and you hear, it depends, because it really does. But I digress. All right. Let me take a sip of coffee because that was a bit of a soapbox and my throat is dry. All right, so next slide. So now she's saying today everything is content, and that's absolutely correct. And again, I, as a creative, do love content creation. It's also a form of self-expression for me. But then at the same time, when it's only for work and you solely like become a robot of record, batch, edit, schedule, research, captions, this, like after a while, it becomes less enjoyable. But at the same time, like people who struggle with content and you see the gaps and you see how easy it can be for them to show up for themselves and their business by creating content. Now, whether it is as a personal brand showing your face or as a brand that does not show your face, the point is content. You show your product, you show how to use the product, or you just show, right? We show and tell. But everything just has its pros and cons, because yeah, I believe that everything is content. That's actually how I got started and how I got my visibility, is that I'd have a conversation with a prospect and I would realize what are some misconceptions or what are some questions that they may have. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. I'm going to run and make that content. I'm going to hop on a live and I'm going to discuss this because this is going to help somebody. So that's what I mean by everything is content, that it isn't hard to figure out what to make content. But it's become, over the past few years, a beast. Where back in the day, it was just kind of simple. You come on, you may come on a live, you deliver your message, and you come off. Now it's stories, it's reels, it's editing, it's a carousel post versus a static image, and the caption and the hashtags and the this and the that. Like, I feel like it was a lot less room for creativity. Wait, let me rephrase. I think I made a mistake listening back. I think there was a lot more room. Yes, there was a lot more room for creativity. And there was a lot less pressure to follow, to follow specific methods and rules. And the methods and rules are important for creating a strategy, being strategic in how you leverage platforms and hashtags and optimizing your content for SEO and searchability and all of these different things. But because there's just so much more people on these platforms, it's like you're working extra hard as compared to the 2016, 17, 18 and thereabout era. Because now it's like, if you don't do these things, you may not get the traction that you want. And then you're spending all of these hours creating this content when you're not even sure what you're going to get back from it. Right? So it was definitely a lot easier back then. And that is part of the reason people are tired. But aside from the actual platforms themselves, it's like it's taken away from our ability to truly live in the moment. And I mean, come on. We've grown as people. We've had growth. And in that growth means we are also aging. And coming out of a pandemic, a lot of us have shifted into realizing what is important to us now, or what is important to us has changed. And that is completely fine, right? So I love this part where she's saying, in fact, most of us aren't even experiencing life with our own eyes. But instead, we're looking through phones, capturing our experiences simply to post online for other people. Hell, we can't even drink our morning coffee without a how-to reel. Right? And again, it's spot on because it's good and it's bad. Like, it's good that everything is content in the sense that, oh, let's be strategic. Let's work content into our lifestyle rather than trying to work our lifestyle into our content. So it's like, okay, you're already walking to the kitchen and pouring yourself a cup of coffee. Whip out my phone, record the coffee, a short 7-second, and you have a lot of that kind of B-roll content stacking up in your phone so that when there's a nice audio to slap over it, throw some words, boom, you have a nice reel that can get a lot of watch time completion, which then pushes it to the algorithm. Now, that's great. That's strategic. That's great for your business. It's good for you. You're working smart, not harder, but at the same time, it does take away from truly living in the moment, right? So we're also getting kind of tired of that. Next slide. All right, so the last thing she says so that the next slide makes sense is, am I guilty? Yes. Do I have the solution? No. But what I do know is it's time for me to live again. Not for content, not for validation, not for likes and follows, not even for the money, but for me. All right, she says more on this, but you can check out the post. I'm going to swipe on. So then she goes on to explain, you know, the dates of when her business will no longer be. She's officially closing the doors. You can work with her in this capacity, I did see another coach do that sometime last year, and she changed businesses altogether, and there's a limited time to do X, Y, and Z with her. I'm not gonna read the rest word for word, but I'm going to highlight a couple sections. So she also said, personally, I am ditching the digital hustle to work on some family, personal, and passion projects. So the colleague who sent me Emily Dela Cruz's post, this is what I was actually saying to her. I was saying, like, I have other things that I actually desire to do, other projects that I want to work on that isn't exactly tied to this business. Actually, it isn't, right? And I'm not going to get too much into it, but what I will say is I did resonate with this part because I have been in the background working on some stuff, cooking up some stuff, conceptualizing some things on what my next move is going to look like. But I know what I want it to look like in terms of how it looks, how it feels, and whatnot, right? So those words, family, personal, and passion projects, could be a mixture of offline business and online. And some of it might just be offline, but with a online presence. So an example of a offline business with an online presence, just for clarity, is you have a restaurant but you have an online business because you need to have an online presence regardless, right? You're gonna have a social media page, but it is not an online business. People still have to come to your restaurant, right? So that's what I mean by the mixture of something that would be a little more hands-on. So she goes on to say, but before jumping straight in, I'm just gonna let God have his way, etc. She also says, professionally, so she listed personally, she lists professionally all what she's canceling, to be very, very clear, like everything. She's like burning the house down, right? Like if you're closing down your business, that obviously means all of these lists of services are no more, right? But she's also letting you know what's available until those closing doors, which is a couple downloadable things. And that's pretty much it. And then she closes off by saying, thank you for rocking with me, da 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 da. Very refreshing. So I am now going to jump straight into Emily De La Cruz's post, and then I'm going to get into the post that I just got 2 hours ago. All right, so Emily, now this might take another 20 minutes if I read everything word for word, so I'm just going to highlight certain things. So straight off, first slide, unpopular opinion. More founders would find more balance if they were able to lead and grow businesses and not personal brands. Now, this is actually a whole other podcast episode, and I'm also mindful of the time of the episode. So I don't want this to be too long, but I'm also not pressuring myself to keep it between under a certain length, right? But I'm mindful of the Emily De La Cruz's post, what I want to actually, which can of worms I want to open on this episode. All right, so I'm just going to highlight the things that's relevant to the topic at hand. So what does she say here? Right, so next slide, she says, know a few peeps closing their businesses across industries because of what it takes out of them or away from them. And I can't help but be annoyed at the system that keeps founders of color on the hamster wheel. All right. So she's talking about like lack of capital and why we have to like lock ourselves into a personal brand. Again, something that I'll get into another time. But here's what I do want to highlight. On her third slide, she says, I would love to see less accelerators teaching people business basics. Not sure how I feel about that because, yo, as much as there are accelerators teaching the business basics, people need the basics. Sadly. Like, I was just talking about this with my lash tech. I was like, a lot of people need the basics. Like, we might want to jump straight into certain things, but honestly, some people are a hot mess, right? And this is no shame. This is tea time, so I'm just speaking directly. Some, and I say that with love, like some people really do need to clean up in certain areas. Like you can't be serious. Like you can't be launching a service with all the proper processes. Like that's what I mean by some people are in a hot mess and they do need those business basics, right? So she would love to see less people, less accelerators teaching people business basics and more mentorship from low-key, offline millionaires on building businesses into assets that you can pass down and don't die with us. License our intellectual property. License your curriculum to a larger organization. Sell your business or part of it for some millions and invest in the next thing. After you sell your business, license your name, image, and likeness for 5 years if they plan to keep using you to market, buy a business that runs without you, etc. All right. Now, here's what I will say with that as a brand strategist. Who comes to mind is Akilah Phillip of Let's Talk Intellectual Property. These are the types of topics that she gets into. And honestly, these aren't sexy topics. This is the non-glamorous side of business. But actually, this is the true glamour because this is where the money resides. All right. Rihanna, if you really pay attention, these are the kinds of business moves that she makes that gets her, that made her grow her wealth. Yeah, sure, it's Fenty, but even before Fenty, she was always smart with her contracts and her licenses and owning her masters. All right, those are the types of boss business moves that we need to be thinking about. All right, and now it might seem like, well, me as a small business owner, how does that apply to me? I was having this conversation with a dog groomer, a friend of mine who's a dog groomer, and she's so stuck in solopreneurship mode that she keeps saying that she can't keep doing this because she doesn't want to be out there hustling. But a man told her, can't remember who he is, but he's in business, and she was talking to him about helping her, and he told her, you don't have to do it. Hire people and build a brand so that you can have locations. You could have, because she's a mobile dog groomer, or was or is, I'm not sure, but you can have maybe 3 mobile units, one in the east-west corridor, one in this area, one in that area, and you have a team. That is building, that is how you build legacy, when you build a business brand that does not rely on you, okay? Now, I don't want to get too deep into that topic, but what I will say is there are benefits to personal branding and business branding. You can opt to have a business brand without your face at all. You can have a mix of both. It really all depends on what you want for yourself. And this is the type of thing that I would discuss when I'm having a strategy session with a client or a prospective client who is new to me, and they might start off with a VIP day or a 90-minute session if that's something I'm selling at the point in time, because 90-day sessions aren't always available. I prefer to focus on VIP sessions. But yeah, I am very transparent. Like the same thing that you're hearing me talk about here right now, I tell them it really all depends. There is no right or wrong. Some people will advocate that your personal brand this, that, and the other. While a personal brand, I agree, is very powerful, it's also, I was having this convo again with not just a client, but a colleague who's also in branding. I was telling her the same thing. Actually, I was telling her I would love to embark on a project. I was telling her this like a year and a half ago. I feel like I desire a business, launch a product, or launch a business brand that people don't know that I own, that is completely detached from my personal identity. And I have reasons for that because of the pros and cons that I know exist between the two. There's time and place, not just time and place, but again, it goes back to what is your vision and what do you desire. You could pick that up as a journal prompt as well. You're welcome. All right, so you can sit down and journal about that, you know. But yeah, and this is where the power of branding comes in, because the licensing potential, even Neil Patel, I'll actually link to the article once I find it. But Neil Patel talked about it as well. If he had to do things all over again, he would not have built his empire around his personal brand. All right, so I will leave you to go down that rabbit hole with the links in the description. All right, so note to self, I have to link Neil Patel. I need to link the social media posts, okay? If I say it out loud, I'll remember, because I can't make notes right now. All right, so how are we supposed to catch up with our counterparts? Right, so she's talking about something else. And the last slide, she said, in summary, the internet is ghetto. Leverage it to build assets in real life. So my next point is, at the height of the pandemic, actually, right before the pandemic happened, the start of 2020, Jen Kem was doing a huge, I wouldn't say marketing campaign, but her messaging was huge on offline conferences, and offline is going to be the new online, and it's going to be less virtual event. Not that it will have less virtual events, but people will be more interested in going to seminars and going to conferences versus the, you know, the 5-day online seminar, and come sit in a Facebook group and join a live and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Which was so interesting to well, when the pandemic actually hit, like, how was she going to shift her messaging? I actually didn't pay attention to see where that went and how she shifted messaging, but she was right. I think if anything, while it might have paused the timing of it for a bit because of lockdowns and whatnot, in a way, the pandemic came and was in alignment with that messaging, because that is what happened coming out of the pandemic. Everyone craves, and still crave, obviously, more human interaction, more in real life events, and just more in real life events and opportunities and way of doing business and approaches to business. All right, so I'm gonna pause here just so I can, my throat is dry again, and pull up the next post. All right, I am back, and let's get into the next post that I got. The one that I got a few hours ago from the other colleague. Okay, and it goes, this post is by Strategy by Sasha, and her first slide, she says, after 13 years on this business journey, I'm pressing pause. Okay, and in her caption, she references being inspired to make this decision and thus make this post due to Brittany Janine announcement. All right, she goes on to say, here's why. She's been doing this for a long time. Her business has seen many iterations over the past 13 years. I think every creative business sees many iterations and evolutions. I mean, all businesses evolve, but not like a creative zone. All right. In the past 13 years, and working with creative women to build their strategy game has been one of my favorites. It's something that truly lit me up, and it's something I still feel called towards. But it's just not fun anymore. So remember, I referenced earlier this post. That is one of the biggest things to me. And I know people might say, especially really like masculine people, masculine energy, just certain types of people in general. I'd be like, well, it's business. Business isn't supposed to be fun. It's work or whatever. But I think you should still enjoy it to some degree. Right? That you should feel some level of passion. And when I say passion, it's not to sound airy, fear like, oh my gosh, I found my purpose. Because I have been listening to some TikToks talking about maybe not so much business, but work. And how we feel like work is supposed to be this super fulfilling thing. But again, that's a whole other conversation. But I do believe to some degree, especially as a creative entrepreneur, creative business, even an entrepreneur in general, we love creating new things, new ideas, whether it's in our businesses or through creating new products and new lines of our products. There's still a certain level of fun to it, right? I think about a music artist, they must have fun. You think about someone with a candle or fashion line, they must have fun creating. Creatives should feel like they're enjoying what they're doing, right? It's just the business side is obviously the not so fun side, but the very necessary side. So this part where she says, but it's just not fun anymore, is extremely valid. The constant need to create content. I think we're all burnt out by content, even those of us who are good at it and enjoy it. Launch programs and get clients is never ending. Same thing Brittany Janine said in her post. It's exhausting and mentally draining. The business world has changed. Next slide. When I first started, it was with a blog and a baby website. It took me years to even join Instagram and a few more to make it business focused. I hate having to think of everything I do through the lens of content creation and hoping that a post I worked on really hard connects. I felt that one as well. Right? There's a ton of great content out there, but again, there's just so much people on these platforms. It's pretty impossible for everyone to see your post, regardless of what we may feel about Instagram and Facebook and all of these rules as our changing algorithm. It just isn't what it used to be, that's for sure. So she's pressing pause. She's been in therapy for the past year and a half, and it's taught her If anything, it's to honor her feelings and create the space she needs with boundaries that keep her protected. All right, so she goes on to like talk about, you know, pressing pause, focusing on other things that bring her joy and that she believes deserves her attention at this time. So what I take away from that and that I like to highlight is that we have other things that we realize are more important in our lives. Maybe it's a different business. Maybe it's both. I want a different business that supports my family. When I say supports the family, a lot of us are being supported by our businesses and it supports our family, but not in the enriching, meaningful way that we would like or that we would hope. And I think as long as you have to work as an adult, to some degree, it will take away time from your loved ones. But I think what we're all collectively saying is that this is taking away too much time. We're spending way too much time chasing an algorithm, creating content that literally expires in hours. Some say 2 hours, but I'm just going to leave it open-ended. In hours. And that's partly why, which, listen, click the link in my bio and head to my YouTube. I dive deeper into this on Instagram. If by the time I post this episode, I haven't launched my second vlog yet, that is coming. And on that vlog, I'm going to talk into how I feel about Instagram. All right. And why, how I actually feel about short form versus long form and why I'm choosing to prioritize long form content like this podcast episode. All right. So where was I? Can't even remember. But basically, yeah, I remember. We're spending way too much time creating content on platforms that don't belong to us. The podcast is still yours. You know, the YouTube video, maybe not so much, but it's more worthwhile creating and nurturing a YouTube channel. You can always house your videos differently. That is content that will always be there and for you. But even though the content that you post on Instagram, it technically is still yours. Like, where else are you going to host something like that? Right? It's a better use of your time than that you put into that one Instagram post. You write one intentional blog. Like, you're already writing a caption, just put it on your website, on a blog, you know? So, yeah. Okay, right. So, she goes on to share what comes next. She's choosing to focus on her podcast network and working still to support women in business, but through being a OBM, project management work, aka, you know, a form of a VE. All right. So she's still getting to work in the online space and utilize her skills and her craft, which I think a lot of us, because we have a knack for it, we still actually enjoy the work. We're just not really enjoying the work in our own businesses because of the amount of maintenance it requires to keep constantly showing up for it from a marketing perspective. You know, but like as a VA, like once you have a solid roster of clients, there's a lot less pressure to like having to show up in the aspect of what's making us burnt out with content creation. You know, like this really tickled me. You know, this post tickled me, not because of the actual post, but because it was just like, just yesterday, Brittany Janine made the post. I shared it with the colleague that sent me this one. And it's just like, okay. I mean, it's to be expected. A lot of people are going to create content because of the conversations that she kind of sparked. Like, I'm making this episode because I'm joining the conversation as well. So what am I getting at? What I want to say is that, at least for me personally, I feel these people. But I have to be completely honest, the colleague that sent me this, I'm not sure what she is alluding to specifically, but I get the feeling that she feels to shut down her business or at least take a pause. I have felt to take a pause. Technically, I've actually taken a pause when I just couldn't do it and I just didn't have a lot of people to serve at the point in time. So I did other things. I created content purely because I wanted to, for fun, and just served what clients I had at the time. I didn't feel like pushing for extra because I chose to focus on my wellness instead. And when I felt like I was ready to pick back up, I did. I don't feel like we always have to make an announcement. That's the other thing. Because what if we change our minds? What if we just needed a break? And now we're going to be like, oh my God. Like, we have to make an announcement out of everything. And we really don't. There have been days where I felt to just deactivate my Instagram profile. And start a fresh one. And start a brand new journey around something else. And I mean, I could still do that without shutting down this page or shutting down this business per se. But either way, I just feel like if I do that, which is like officially like close doors or phase it out, I'm not going to make an announcement. You know, like I would probably wait a year for things to like be like done. And I'd be like, yeah, it's done. And that's that. And here's a conversation that we also need to talk about. We don't talk often enough about, in small business capacity, what is our exit strategy? And why not? Because when we're building our business, when it's new and it's fresh, we're focused on it being successful. Like, why would we even be thinking about an exit strategy? Really successful businesses, and even online businesses, have sold. And sometimes like you're so attached, even as someone in their community, that wow, I can't believe they sold. Like, why would they sell? It's such a successful business. But sometimes there comes a point where it's a really nice ripe time to sell, and they decided to sell. But what I will say is there's nothing wrong with selling your business, but it has to be in a position to sell, which I know a lot of people are not, because they haven't thought about building a business that's not tied to them. They have not built a business that can run without them. So obviously you can't sell it. It's very much tied to the person showing up, running it, etc. So it comes down to posts like these that turn into I'm pausing or I'm closing, because there's no exit strategy built in or baked into the building of the business. Now, do I have all the answers? Do I have all my stuff figured out? No, I'll be completely transparent to say that. But I knew, even as a creative very early in my career, I've always thought about at some point, I have to think about what my exit strategy is. Not just as a online agency or solopreneur, freelancer, or what you may have, but even as simple as just being a freelance graphic designer. When I just started design, I started to like get better at my craft, and I, you know, 3 years in, 4 years in, 5 years in, I had to think about like graphic designers don't really work until your typical retirement age. There are just some professions that eventually you just kind of stop seeing the person. But they started something else somewhere along the way. right? There are just some professions that if you don't build a team, an agency, a studio, a photography business with a team of photographers, or you as a photographer did not evolve the business into a photography studio where people come, take headshots, take photos, etc., etc., or develop a studio. You know, there are some studios where just do passport photos, you can buy frames, this, that, and the other. Like, if you don't build something that's separate to you, you're either going to have to close and change businesses, change careers, do something else. Like, there are just a handful of options. That's just what it is. And it's not wrong. What's important is to recognize this early in your creative career so you can plan accordingly. I have been making changes a while now, and they're uncomfortable shifting to a different model, but it's necessary and it needs to be done. I think most freelancers either exit the game, there's no right or wrong here, which is cool as a decision, or they decide to double down on building an agency, a small agency, a small boutique agency, or a studio. Whatever word you decide to use, the point is you're building a team and a business brand that's separate to you. I'm in the process of doing that. I don't want to talk about it too much, but things are changing. It is evolving. And that's why I built the separate Instagram page for Basic to Branded. So like, I'm still there leading with my face. And I don't know if you guys, some of you all didn't, I did post about this on Instagram. There was a time I was kind of like, mini event is like, just as I'm trying to phase out my face and being the face of the brand, somebody reached out to me or inquired, but they inquired because of me, you know. I can't remember exactly how it went, but the point is there is power and strength in the personal brand. Like, it's really powerful, but they're both powerful. Once you can, and that's the thing, I think even a business brand is even more powerful once you get it right. Because when that baby can stand on its own and garner income on its own merit without the founder having to drive it home, that is true freedom. That is what I would say. And through and through, between these three posts and the comment section, it's about freedom. When you really sit and reflect on all of it, when we reflect on why we started our business, why a lot of us got into online business, why a lot of us don't want to go back to the office, it really comes down to that innate human desire for freedom. And I think that's what it's all about, right? So I have emptied all of my thoughts here, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot more that I do want to say that isn't coming to me at the moment. So I want to wrap up this episode at this point. But what my closing thoughts would be is that everything has a level to it. Everybody is right. Oh no, not everybody is right. There's so many perspectives that was shared, from like Emily has her perspective, Brittany Janine has her perspective of why she's tired. For Emily, it's all about like the whole personal brand versus business brand. She's been talking about, you know, business brand versus personal brand for a while. So I know she's huge on that. But all in all, what I would say is that I think it's about, okay, so this is what it's about for me as well. It's about having repeatable income, right? So let me circle it back to something I said earlier. Once you start making money and you realize that it's really exhausting to sustain this, that's when you realize, wait, I don't need new tricks and tactics to make money in my business, because the internet will have you, the internet will have you in a tizzy. That's the best way I could put it. You will scroll and think, oh, I need to join this accelerator. Oh, I need to work with this coach. Oh, I need this tactic. I need this strategy. I need this course. I need this next glossy thing. What you really need is the right business model that's going to create repeatable income. I just had this epiphany somewhere in the past year or two after I realized I was freaking tired like everyone else. I was like, I don't care about a lot of things anymore. I don't care about like looking this way and doing this and doing that. And I was like, I just want to make repeatable income, like a salary, but without the salary, without having to go to a job every single day. How do you get that in your business? And I realized, how does a pharmacy get repeatable income? They just do one simple thing really well every single day. They give you your drugs, right? They sell that every single day. A grocery. I looked around, I was like, a grocery. They are always making money because they are supplying a need over and over and over and over. The thing with us creatives is that we feel like we have to do something new and exciting every single day. And this is a conversation I had with that same colleague out in Florida. It's like, our problem with many creatives is that we feel like it has to be exciting all the time. Repeatable income comes from the boring tasks, from the boring, repeatable tasks. That is the epiphany that I had. There's a person on the internet called Corey Sanchez, and she talks a lot about having boring businesses. The money is where the boring businesses are at. You can take the boring business and make it exciting and fun, and add your personality and give it pizzazz, but the core of the business needs to be boring and repeatable. How do I get repeatable income every single day? You need to sell the same thing every single day. Just do it well, all the time, over and over. Once you find a way to make sales for your business, do it over and over, over and over. And it gets boring. It really does. And I remember, funny enough, that Jen Kemp said this back in 2017. She's like, guys, once you master marketing, it's boring. It's boring. And it made so much sense, because it's like, once you find something that works, you just keep working on like a machine. You might tweak it over time because it's necessary to tweak things so that you keep it, you know, fresh, trendy, and you're sticking with market trends and what the people want. But for the most part, you want a boring business. That's just what it is. And then I finally had that epiphany. I was like, I need to simplify things in my current business, but to get to the next level that I might want to see myself as I get older, in my, you know, in my 40s, not there yet, if you're wondering, but you know, as you go on in your life, like, it's about finding that boring business that's going to suit you. It could be your current business. You may not have to change businesses, but you might have to reshift how you approach, how you look at your business. So it can be fun. You can get creative with it, not saying no, but it's where you get creative. You can get creative with products and services, but then sometimes as creative, we get a little too carried away. So every 3 months, we have a new package, we have a new offer, and we have a new this, and we have a new that. Like, no, like, find those sweet spot packages that really serve your people, and ride those wheels till the wheels spin off and you do something else. All right. I think that's my closing message, is that I think a lot of us are heading into an era where, well, one, we're tired and we want to find more meaning in our lives, and we want our businesses to not only sustain us financially, but give us what we're looking for at this point in time. And that's going to look different for everybody. But I think for the most part, a lot of us are kind of over the glossiness of the internet and looking a certain way and stunting for the internet and having pretty fancy, I guess, like carousel posts. Like, what is the real meaning behind all of this? You know, especially with the last post that I read, which was from Strategy by Sasha, is like, for her, a boring business looks like being a VA doing repeatable tasks every single day. And if that is what is going to give you what you need, then great, by all means, go for it. So I think that is my main closing message that I want to conclude with, is find what works for you and what's going to give you that boring, repeatable income. We don't really have to reinvent the wheel all the time. Sometimes we already have something that's working for us, but then we get bored and we think we have to join this program, and then we join this person's program that gives us this five-step framework for something that doesn't apply to your business. I don't have an issue with frameworks, but I think frameworks should still be able to be customizable to where you are. So like for me, my VIPD, there is a framework, but when we do meet on the VIPD, I still listen to where you are at. What do you need to focus on the framework pieces that you're going to get the most value from, rather than going through the VIPD in this cookie cutter way. So we do have a signature framework, but it's how you deliver it. And a lot of the online people, especially with huge audiences, because they can sell a group coaching program, then you kind of get lost in the mix of not just a group coaching program, but a cookie cutter framework. But that's a whole other conversation that I'm not going to get into. I'm going to end this podcast episode here. But if you enjoyed this episode, I would love if you screenshot and shared this episode to your Instagram stories. And just kind of caption your story with what was your takeaway, what were your thoughts, did you enjoy the episode, just leave a thought. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, what's important to me is to keep the conversation going. So I would love for you to send me a DM and let me know your thoughts. And even better, if you could leave a review on this podcast. I don't think Spotify leaves reviews, but if there's any way you can leave a comment, leave a review, definitely do so. I'd love that. And I'll catch you on the next installment of this pop-up series. It was really nice chatting with you all. It's been a while since I've done a podcast episode. And one thing's for sure is I do enjoy podcasting. And whether I start a brand new one, it will still be an extension of this one, and a revamp of it. So that is all for now, and I'll catch you on the next one. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube. I vlog over there. And yeah, we could still stay connected on Instagram.